Well, they've got plenty of sunshine in London, but they need some down in Florida this morning because pending good weather, today will mark the start of the second-to-last mission ever for the NASA Space Shuttle program when Endeavour takes off from Cape Canaveral. That is, again, pending weather permissiveness there. Now, NASA has been asking people to vote on the song that will wake up the astronauts today. As we've been learning from our listeners all this week, they have our own nominations.
This is Henry Crawford from Lubbock, Texas, and I think they should play
So Long, Farewell, I'll Be the Same Tonight.
From The Sound of Music. It'll be an appropriate last song. So long, farewell.
I'll leave and say goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye. Goodbye.
Now, a listener who called 8778-MY-TAKE. Yes, goodbye at 3:47 p.m. Eastern Time when Endeavour blasts off from Kennedy Space Center in Florida for its 25th and final mission. During the 14-day mission, the crew will be delivering a 7,000-kilogram particle physics detector to the International Space Station. In attendance will be Gabrielle Giffords, wife of astronaut and Commander Mark Kelly, who will be leading the Endeavour team. And President Obama will also be there. Now, you know who Gabrielle Giffords is from Arizona. Husband's an astronaut, hey? Joining us this morning to talk about the launch and soon-to-be end of the shuttle program is Peter Spotz, science reporter for the Christian Science Monitor. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Todd.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, President Barack Obama, all on hand. This isn't even the last shuttle launch. They're making a big deal of this Endeavour launch.
Yeah, and I think you'll see this. That they may not, come to the final launch, but I think you're seeing people taking advantage of the opportunity, to bear witness to the end of an era, and I think particularly with the drama of Mark Kelly and Gabriella Giffords, the president I'm sure wanted to show his support for both of them, through what has been a very trying time for both of them, and a very courageous time for both of them. So,
yeah, well, there's clearly a big PR angle on this mission, but I want to talk about the science, Peter Spotz, because you're the science reporter. For a lot of us space heads, the shuttle was a raging success in terms of satellite delivery. Hubble is the obvious example, a major step forward in deep space exploration. But in terms of human space exploration, we've been hovering at a 220-mile orbit for about 20 years. Is there a controversy over whether the shuttle program has actually been successful?
Oh, I don't. There is, but frankly, I think it would be hard to argue anything other than it has been successful in what it was designed to do. It certainly was, from a cost standpoint, it was unsuccessful. The expectations of cheap, regular access to space, people were initially envisioning, many, many more flights a year than the shuttle ultimately was able to deliver. On the other hand, it has enabled the construction of this, enormous space station that is currently on orbit. And as you pointed out, it has delivered some very interesting science payloads, including one on this mission that is designed to help answer some very sort of fundamental questions about the origin of the universe. And there are technology demonstrations that this program has been able to execute as well. There is, for example, on this mission, there is a new docking system that they'll be testing out that would be used on future exploration spacecraft. So I think, there certainly are some arguments to be made that it wasn't successful on an economic standpoint as people were initially pitching it at the beginning of the program. But purely from a space geek technology standpoint, I think it could be argued it's been quite successful.
Well, in the Apollo mission, humans got about 275,000 miles away from Earth, a record for humans. Again, in the shuttle program, we were 220 miles from Earth. We got a minute to go before I got to let you go, Peter, but how much longer do we have to wait before humans can break the distance barrier of the moon?
Oh, probably another decade or so, given the current plans. We're moving, locally, we're in the pioneering stage where people are beginning to occupy and live and work in space, and now it's up to the explorers to move beyond this low Earth orbit area and head us off to Mars and other destinations. So it's going to take a while, but it's going to happen within the next decade or so, I think.
Well, the space shuttle, Peter Spatz, has allowed us to look deep, deep into space. You can check out Hubble Deep Field photographs of distant, distant galaxies if you want to get a sense for yourself of how successful the shuttle program has been in delivering science payloads, and a lot of other people waiting for the day when humans can get a little bit higher than 250 miles from Earth. The shuttle Endeavour on its final mission, taking off today from Cape Canaveral. Peter Spatz, thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.